So, just by a show of hands, who is able to practice at home? And it's not a bad thing if you don't, just curious.
Okay. A little bit.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. So, having a home yoga practice doesn't necessarily mean having this kind of a formal practice where you have all your props and you set aside an hour and a half and it's this whole thing, right? It doesn't have to be that formal. In fact, my practice isn't like that. My practice is I get up in the morning and I meditate for 10 to 15 minutes, longer sometimes if I feel like I need to sit longer, and then I have my mat there and I do maybe 15 to 20 minutes of yoga. Sometimes it's just laying on the floor and like kind of rolling around and stretching my legs. Other times it's a more active practice. I just do what my body feels like it needs. And it's really simple. It's not this huge, grandiose, difficult pose practice that I do. It's actually something that really sustains me, keeps me out of back pain. That's kind of my go-to because I do have a lot of back problems. That's why I started doing yoga in the first place. And then, you know, I get up and I have breakfast. So maybe all told it's half an hour or maybe longer, but usually about half an hour. Sometimes for me it's also in the evening. So if I have been sitting on the couch and, you know, there's like a game on or something and the family is watching, I'll either lay down in the hallway, which is like right off of the living room, or I'll just lay down on the living room rug and do some movement. And my family's used to it. So I just do my little stretches for, you know, a few minutes, and then I get up and I go to bed, or I take a bath and I go to bed. So it can be little breaks throughout the day. But again, one of the things that I find that is helpful for trying to create a home yoga practice is to kind of figure out first where in your house would be appropriate for you to put a mat down. Don't have to have a mat, but think about how big the mat is and about you need about that much space. So a hallway would work. Anywhere that there's not a lot of furniture, you do want to have some sort of a flat surface. It doesn't have to be hard. It can actually be carpeted. That's fine. You can do it on a deck outside. If it's nice out, that's actually a really nice way to practice in the morning and is to kind of get out and go outside and do it. Pretty much anywhere but the bathroom or kitchen would work, unless you have a really big kitchen. And then thinking about the time of day that would be, that you could give yourself, you know, 15 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. In the morning, right after you get up, that's usually the standard time that people practice because, like I mentioned before, it's if you really are have the intention to do it right as soon as you wake up in the morning, you don't allow yourself to check your phone, check your email, start making food, start taking a shower, all of those other things that are getting you into your work day or your life day. Right before you do all of that stuff, you know, I get up, I go to the bathroom, and then I go do my thing. And no one else is awake. And that's another thing that I really enjoy about it for me is that my husband and daughter are still asleep. And I don't have to worry about what they're doing. I can just go do my thing. It's quiet. The dog isn't even awake. You know, it's just me and my mat and my bolster that I sit on, right? So just sit for a moment before we do anything else. And I just want you to visualize where in your house might be a good place to practice. And you might need to move some furniture out of the way or move the coffee table or, you know, move a chair or something. But just in your mind's eye, just see that part of your house with a clear space. If you don't have a yoga mat at home, you don't need one. If you have hardwood floors in your house, it might be nice to have like a towel down or some sort of something soft, a blanket, a towel, a rug. And then think about and visualize the time of day that would be appropriate for you to practice. So maybe it's in the morning, as soon as you get up, or maybe right before you go to bed, having some sort of a nighttime routine, which is really nice if you have insomnia, to have a little yogic routine in the evening to help you calm down and get ready for sleep. Another time that's helpful to do it is in the afternoon, during like a transition, especially if you're working or are doing like doctor's appointments, and when you come home from all of that out in the world activity, come back to the house for the evening, that's also sometimes a nice time to do yoga because it gives you that transition from being out in the world to being home. And then in your mind's eye, just take another moment or two to just visualize yourself practicing some yoga in your house. You don't need to have all of the fancy yoga props that we have here in this space. You can use couch cushions. You can use beach towels. You can use paperback books instead of the blocks that we have here. You can use a necktie or a belt instead of a strap. And just sort of set an intention that you will. And this is the hardest part, I think, is just remembering to do it. But just set this intention really clearly within yourself that, you know, you do know things to do, which can be a huge hurdle to home practices, not knowing what to do. So we've got a lot of different practices that we've worked on over these last 8 weeks. And that you have imagined a space in your house, and you've carved out or imagined that you can carve out some time for the practice. And just set an intention that when you feel like you really need it, that you will practice. Doesn't have to be every day. My theory and my approach to home practice is that yoga should never be one more thing on the list that you feel bad about not doing. It really should be something that you come to because you know it's going to make you feel better. And it isn't like you're kicking yourself because you didn't do it that day. Okay. And then go ahead and let your eyes open. So another couple of things about the props. This is sometimes a huge hurdle for people. They say, oh, I don't have a mat. I don't have any of that stuff, right? All those props. So what I use at home is I do have mats, but that's just, I also have a space that's just got a rug on the floor, and that works also. This is about the shape of a book, yeah, about the thickness of a book. Doesn't have to be, and in fact, Charis, would you show them the other yoga blocks in there? Give me one of the foam ones, if you would.
The traditional ones?
Yeah, the one of the little blue ones. So this is sort of one of the more traditional yoga blocks. Thank you. So it's not as big as this. It's actually a lot smaller of a footprint. So what I have done is taken a couple paperbacks and like taped them or rubber banded them together, and it creates enough firmness that you can actually use that instead of a block like this. You know, Lord of the Rings or something big would work. And, you know, these are called shoulder stand foams. That's what these are for, but we don't usually use them in these classes for shoulder stands. But these, I'm not even sure where they bought these, but this is another style of blocks. They're not expensive if you really want to get blocks. They're, you know, maybe $5. You can get stuff at Target. Mats and blocks and straps and everything are at Target, right? Pretty inexpensively. The blankets are a standard, sometimes they're called Mexican blankets, because they usually have, they're acrylic, and they have, like, fun patterns on them. You can pretty much use any kind of blanket that is this kind of a thickness. I wouldn't use like the chenille throws like this. That's not going to give enough heft. If you don't have a blanket like that, you could use a beach towel or two beach towels folded together instead of blankets. You can also take that beach towel and roll it up, or a blanket off of the bed or sheets or something, and roll it up instead of the bolsters. Okay, so there's lots of choices that you have at home. What I've actually done for bolsters at home is I have taken old pillows, and I actually had students one time bring me old pillows that they were going to not use anymore, and I rolled them up from the long edge, kind of like you would roll up a rump roast, right, a jelly roll, and then tied it with string like you tie a rump roast, and then stuck it in a pillowcase, and then tied the end of the pillowcase, and it made a homemade bolster. They're not as stiff as these are, but they do work, and I have several of them that I use at home, and bolsters are very expensive. They're like $60 or $70. So that's why I'm like, I'm not going to buy the bolsters. I just made some. So there, you can make your own props at home. It's actually quite easy. You don't have to really buy anything. Okay. And then the straps is the other thing. Of course, the straps don't always have to have a buckle on the end. You could use a belt that you, like a leather belt, but you could use a sash from like a robe or a necktie or scarf, a long scarf instead of a strap. Okay. All right. So having said that, What I wanted to do as a review with everybody is just, are there any side effects that you're still really having difficulty with that we could maybe do this little miniature practice together tonight? And feel free to, anyone that has one, feel free to go ahead and say. Sleep?
Yeah.
Sleep. Okay. So with insomnia, that's kind of, it is a hard nut to crack because it can be caused by so many different things, especially if you're taking any steroids. It can be really challenging to get on top of the insomnia. But what I have found that can be really helpful is a really important thing is to have a routine at night. About an hour before you decide you want to go to bed. So if you're trying to be in bed by 10, start at 9, figure out your routine. There's teas that the ladies and I were talking about before, some kind of tea that's got sleepy time or something. So even chamomile, something that's not caffeinated, that's always nice. Something warm is going to help you calm down a little bit. Baths are good. Showers are good. Doing a little bit of movement can be nice. If you feel tense when you go to bed, if your body feels like kind of restless, a little bit of movement is nice to do right before you go to bed so that you get that restless energy out of your system. And trying to kind of make that hour a routine every night so you really get into it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have problems falling asleep. I have problems in terms of staying asleep.
Okay. So what do you normally do when you get up in the middle of the night? Do you actually get up or do you stay in bed?
Well, I try to go back to sleep and mm-hmm. I can't, and so I just get up and I figure I better go to the restroom.
So in those cases, if you're in the middle of the night and you find yourself awake, it's there's two things that I've done that have been helpful for me. One is to lay in bed in what we call like our yoga nidra position, right, shavasana, which is laying on your back, you know, like this, and do the body scan on yourself. So you're lying there, and we'll do it tonight when we do the yoga nidra. Make sure that you're not on your side. You want to be symmetrical. And then you start to say to yourself all of the fingers, the palm. So you go joint, long bone, all the way up. So wrist, forearm, elbow, upper arm, shoulder, armpit, chest, waist, hip, thigh, knee, calf, ankle, foot, and then all the toes. And do the same thing on the other side of the body. And you can make it up. You can add things in. You can be more specific than that if you want to. Then you start at the top of your head and start to go right, left, all of the things that are duplicates. So your eyebrows, your eyes, your ears, your nostrils, your mouth, the chest, all the way down. And you kind of do the limb on one side, limbs on the other side, and then the center. So kind of go down the front, up the back. So buttocks, back, low back, mid back, upper back, back of the head. And this is actually one of these practices that it will, not only does it give you something to do, your head, your brain, something to do and something to think about, but it also will connect the nervous system in such a way that the inside of your motor cortex, which is in the brain, where the nerves start, the nerves that move our body around, they originate in the motor cortex. It connects the origin of those nerves to the ending of the nerves in that part of the body. So not only are you saying each one of these body parts, but you're trying to concentrate on noticing that body part, noticing what sensations are coming from it, what does it feel like. You're not trying to move it or overly relax it. You're just trying to be aware that it's there, kind of put all of your awareness into it. And it's a way that it can actually calm the mind down and calm the body down at the same time. So it's a very effective tool for helping you to fall back asleep. And when I'm having that situation, I rarely get through the whole thing before I fall asleep. Because for a lot of it is that once you're awake in the middle of the night, the brain starts going. And then you're like, why am I not asleep? I should be asleep. I'm really stressed because I'm not asleep. And it's just this whole like circular pattern, right? So that is helpful. And then the other thing that I find really nice is the breathing, the patterns of breathing. And actually, let me say this before I continue. A lot of the practices that are on this sheet and on all of the seven other sheets that we've given you guys over the last 8 weeks, they're helpful for more than just that thing, right? So both the inhaling through the left and exhaling through the right, which is called Chandra Vedana. That's the breath, the insomnia. And also Nadi Shodhana, which is the one for mental clarity, which is inhaling left, exhaling right, and then inhaling right, exhaling left, are helpful for insomnia. Because once again, it gives you something to think about. Now, you can't do that and the body scan at the same time. Although, if you could, that's pretty miraculous. I can't do it. So let's do some of the breathing. Okay, so we'll practice that now. So find a comfortable way to sit. If you want to sit up on something, that's fine. And you can sit cross-legged or with your legs extended. Let's practice this with our imagination, because I like to do it. It's more comfortable to do it in bed if you aren't using your hand, because it gets distracting with your hand in front of your face. So close your eyes for just a moment and just feel yourself breathing through your nose. And then for a few rounds of breath, focus really intensely into the right nostril. And imagine that you're only breathing in and out through the right. And then change that to be breathing only in and out through the left. Okay, so the pattern is, for the left nostril breath, is in through the left, out through the right, and then the same thing again, in through the left, out through the right. So it makes a little circle. Okay. Now, to add one more layer to this, let's put the hands in Chin Mudra, which is the mudra that's for insomnia here. So if you just touch your index and your thumb together, the rest of the hand is in a fist, and the hands are going to be on the knees, palm down. So using your imagination, inhale through the left side and imagine exhaling through the right. Inhale left, exhale right. Keep going in that pattern. Do three more. And then let's chant ah three times. This is just a kind of a calming sound to make. So you can keep your mudra, you can keep your eyes closed. Breathing normally through both sides now. Taking a breath in, and we're going to just chant ah three times. Ah. as you're ready to, just let your hands relax and let your eyes open. Are we ready for sleep yet? It's very calming. So you could do that in bed. Maybe not if you have a partner. You probably wouldn't want to do the chanting part. Unless they're awake too and they can do it with you. But you can do it in your head. You can actually chant silently and it still has some effect. It doesn't have as much of an effect. You don't get the vibratory effect of the vocal cords moving, but it does have a impact on your system to just think about that tone being very smooth. So it's not on the one for insomnia, but what I wanted to do, this is what I do before I go to bed. I don't do it when I have insomnia, but I do it before I go to bed. So I think it's for me part of my evening practice is what's listed under the general, the four vinyasa. So let's do that together. That's actually one of my go-to things to do when I'm feeling stiff and sore in my body. So if your lack of sleep is caused by that body tension, this can actually be really helpful, okay? So let's, we've got everything kind of out for yoga nidra right now, so if you could just move your bolster back a little bit so that you could lay down on your mat, and if you need a pillow, use one of those things. You probably don't need to use the pillow and the blanket, but just use one thing for your head if you need something. And come onto your back. Knees bent, feet on the floor. And then bring your right knee into your chest and let your left leg go down to the ground. So with this moving series of reclining sort of leg movements, every time we breathe in or out, the movement is going to change. So we'll go a little bit slow for this first one so we can get the pattern down. So on the exhalations, you're bringing the leg toward the chest usually or across the body. On the inhalations, you're moving the leg away. Okay, so this first breath out, the right knee comes in to the chest. Then hold the knee with just your right hand. And as you take a breath in, you're going to pull your knee over to the right a little bit. So you're opening up that groin. Try to keep your left side of your body on the ground. The left arm can actually go out to the side if you've got room to do that. Then when you exhale, you're going to bring your knee, pass your knee to your left hand, and pull the knee across the midline of the body. Any amount. Your butt can stay on the floor, or you can actually lift your butt off the floor, the right side of your hip, if it feels good. And then the right arm can reach out to the side. Then when you inhale the next time, you're going to bring yourself into the center, grab behind your thigh, and start to straighten your knee. Now, it doesn't have to go all the way straight, but do as straight as feels comfortable. And then when you exhale, fold the knee back to the chest. Then on the inhale, you're going to let the leg go straight. The arms, if it's appropriate for you to raise your arms up, raise them up so that they don't have to go to the floor. So they can just go part of the way back. And then when you exhale, you're going to bring your left knee to your chest and grab the left shin and pull in. When you're inhaling, pull the knee to the left and bring your right arm to the floor beside you. When you're exhaling, you're going to pass your knee to your right hand, and any amount you can bring it across, the left hip might lift up off the floor. As you inhale, come to the middle, grab behind your thigh, and lift your foot up toward the ceiling. On the exhalation, bring your knee into your chest. And then as you inhale, you're lengthening the leg to the floor. The arms are going to raise up overhead. So let's go a little faster now. So with every change of breath, you change movement. And follow your breath. So if we don't all have to be synchronized when we go. So on the exhalation, when you exhale, the right knee is going to come into the chest. Hold it with your right hand. When you inhale, the knee goes to the right. When you exhale, you pass the knee to your left hand and pull it across. When you inhale, you come to center and hold them behind the leg and lift the foot. When you exhale, you pull your knee into your chest. Inhale, extend the leg and arms overhead. Exhale the left knee into the chest. Inhale the knee to the left. Exhale, bring it across to the right. Inhale, center, hold behind the legs, send the foot up. Exhale, knee to chest. Inhale, lengthen the body all the way out. Let's do it one more time to each side. Exhale, right knee in, holding with right hand. Inhale, knee opens to the right. Exhale, across to the left. Inhale to center, hold behind the legs and the foot up. Exhale, the knee to the chest. Inhale, extend the body. Exhale, left knee comes in. Inhale, open it to the left. Exhale, across to the right. Inhale, center, hold behind the thigh and send the foot up. And exhale, knee to chest. And then inhale, lengthen, and just stay there for a breath or two. Just stretch the body out, flex through your feet. Good. And then relax your arms to your sides, bend the knees one at a time, and let the feet come back down to the floor. So if you have restless leg syndrome or anything like that, this can be really helpful because you move a little bit before you go to bed. And this won't give you, it won't wake you up too much. There's a lot of yoga that if you were to try to do it right before bed, you would get like more awake than you need to be. But this is just kind of chill enough that it'll help. Okay. So bend your knees one at a time and come over to your side and come up and sit. So we've got time to talk about one more side effect. I'm like dealing with one more thing that's really still an issue and still really bothering them. No? The constipation? Bingo! Yeah, okay. So this, I'm glad we said that. So, and all three things. The three things we've been talking about. Constipation, diarrhea, nausea, right? The key with constipation is to, like I mentioned, to get movement. And there are 1,000 different ways that you can get movement in the abdomen. So the idea behind that is you want to wake up your body's peristalsis. So the peristalsis is the contraction of the intestines. That when we're sedentary or when we're stressed, that slows down. Okay, a lot of it is actually because of stress. When we're feeling a lot of stress, and even though we may not think that we feel stressed, the body is under stress, the digestive system does not work as well as it does when we're completely relaxed, okay? Now, because of that, sometimes we're feeling stressed, starting to feel constipated, and then we relax, and then we go into diarrhea because everything relaxed, and then all of a sudden it shoots into the other direction, right? So it's like this huge, like, swaying back and forth between the two extremes. So what we want to make sure that's happening if we are having diarrhea is that we're doing things that are soothing. So the things that are in the sequence for constipation are not going to help you if you have diarrhea, to actually make it worse. Okay, so be careful with that. For diarrhea, really, it's about just trying to relax as much as you can. Eliminating a lot of like spicy foods, a lot of caffeine, any alcohol, those things are all going to make diarrhea a lot worse. Okay. So some of the things on the sheet for constipation, and I added things in here that are actually really gentle, okay? So the mudra, jala, I'm going to have to be a little cheater here and look it up because I forget which one that is. One moment. Paula is holding the tip and the thumb, that's the tip and the thumb, the pinky fingertip and the thumb tip touching, and resting that on the backs of the knees. This is actually to help increase water in the body. Okay.
No.
You don't think you want to do that? Yeah, this is optional. So if you are not dealing with constipation, and you are having diarrhea, I wouldn't do this. You can just wash.
Because you have the constipation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Helps to balance the water.
Okay. If you have a lot, if you tend to cold it, well, sometimes I can tell I'm holding more water than usual.
This should help to balance it, actually, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The whole water element, yeah. Hmm. There's this one, and then there's Apana, which is really good for constipation also. So this is sort of for the water. Apana is touching the thumb to the middle and ring finger and pointing downward. So this is, basically telling the energy to go down and out of the body. So if you have diarrhea, this one would not be very helpful. This one would make the diarrhea worse. So be careful. And this can be used on the toilet. It's actually quite helpful. One of the other things about constipation is that, and I'm sure, doctors, if you've talked to your doctor about it, they probably told you don't strain, relax. And I'm we're going to get a little personal here, but this is really important too, and this is something that I worked with an Ayurvedic physician for a while, and she talked about this with a lot of her clients. So what is the position that we get into when we're on the potty? And we lean forward. This is really a bad position to be in if you're constipated, because you're forward and then you're pushing and you're actually putting all that pressure on the belly. It's much more natural if you're sitting up and trying to relax. So you can try doing the mudra with the hands by the sides and just sit normally. Don't lean forward, okay? And just sit up and just try to relax as much as you can into your abdomen as possible. Even if you have to sit there for a while, that's fine. But this position is kind of counterproductive, leaning forward. Okay. So it's gravity this way. Make sense? Okay. So the movement for it is anything that is kind of cat-cow-like. Okay? So I have the Z-Pose series on here, but that's just one. That's actually a kind of complicated series. Anything that's cat-cow-like, even stuff from the sitting position. So cat-cow is this, arch the back, round the back. Right? Cat-cow can be done sitting in the chair. It can be done sitting cross-legged. It can be done on your hands and your knees this way. Okay? You can do it sitting on a normal chair. Same way, kind of round and arch. So cat-cow kind of movements, and then what Wanda is doing, circular movements are good too. So any kind of circular movements, again, the circular movements can be done from a seated position, either sitting like I am or sitting like you guys are. You can do it from a kneeling position. Call this the barrel roll, where you kind of go around in a circle with your abdomen. Or you can do it standing. You can do it standing like this. Okay. Any of those kind of movements are going to be helpful to get things working and moving again. Okay. Okay. Is there anything else I wanted to say about that? It's important to do it as often as you can, daily if you can. So that's one of the keys with it, is that if you are chronically constipated, make that part of your routine when you get up in the morning. It's also kind of helpful if you wake up before you eat to drink warm water, body temperature water. Drink a nice big glass of body temperature water as soon as you wake up. This actually will nourish all of your organs and will help get things going. If you wake up in the morning and drink coffee first off, it's not helpful. I mean, we do it, Or if you eat first thing, you actually want to lubricate the system before you put any food in. that can actually be really nice too.
Does it matter if you drink the warm water and then it's a while before you can eat? Because I have to take medication and then wait for
that's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
A certain time before I can eat.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, any other burning questions before we do our yoga nidra practice?
Can we turn on the heat?
Yes, I can turn on the heat.
You had mentioned nausea. You did. Same thing for nausea.
So nausea, yes, this constipation and nausea have somewhat of a similar protocol. Because you're with nausea, it's the direction that should be going in this way has gone, just decided to go the other way. So all of these things that are grounding, all these grounding mudras, this one is a grounding mudra. Adi from anxiety is a grounding mudra. And if you can read in some of the descriptions of the mudras that I gave you on the sheet where it'll say, you know, good for multiple things, right? The big thing with nausea is that you usually don't want to lay flat on your back. So that even that yoga that we did with the legs probably wouldn't be so helpful for nausea, because you're not only are you laying flat, but you're also kind of churning the belly with the legs, right? This might not feel so good for nausea, because if you feel like it's stirring things up too much, you just have to be careful with it. But really, it's more about the grounding energy, taking long, slow breaths out, the grounding mudras. When you lay down, like even in bed, if you have it at night, prop yourself up a little bit, like I'll do it up here. I don't have enough stuff to show you. You know, have yourself propped a little bit so that you're keeping that direction of gravity. If you're flat on your back, it tends to make you get acid reflux and the nausea will be worse. You really want to avoid any asanas, any yoga practices where you're doing anything like this, because you're not wanting to take your head below your heart, because it's just going to make you feel sicker. Yeah. But this one is one of the thumbs on the inside of the fist is good. And also, there's a whole class of mudras that are interesting for like stomach ailments. This is really helpful for constipation. This, with the thumbs sticking toward each other, is really helpful for cramps, if you're having like stomach cramps, or menstrual cramps, actually. And they both are more grounding. So this one's the most grounding. This one's a little bit less. So this is good for constipation, nausea, all the things that we're trying to get and anxiety, trying to get the energy to ground. Yeah.
So the warm water is still good in there?
Warm water would still be good. But just watch the churning of the belly. Those, not so much. I mean, it's kind of intuitive. You probably don't feel like doing a lot of that stuff if you're feeling really sick. Yeah. Ginger is also very good for nausea. Ginger tea, candied ginger. Are we ready to lay down?
Yay!
Okay. So I'm going to have... Are they coming? What's going on?
I think so.
Oh, okay. So we are going to set up the props a little bit differently than the way they are right now, because I want you to make sure that you've got everything kind of in the right position. So if you could take your bolster at the end, the front end of the blanket. So this is the back of my mat. Bolster's going to be here. You can use the other blanket for a pillow. And we do have a little fold that we like to do for yoga nidra that's an optional thing, but I'll show you how to do it. So from the standard fold, which looks like this, the fringes are on the long side. Turn it so that the selvage edge, the unfolded edge is away from you, and the short folded edge is towards you. And then you take the corners and fold them toward the middle, kind of like you're getting ready to make a paper airplane. And then you take that whole piece and flip it down and kind of smash down on the triangle portion. And then you lay that on the mat, so it's still on this, on the blanket, toward the back with the point of the triangle facing the front of the mat. And when you lay down, your head goes into the little triangular space. The upper back is on the little ledge of blanket. Now, for some of us, this still feels, this edge is not comfortable. So when you lay down, if you decide that that edge is not comfortable, raise a hand, and we'll, all we'll do is we'll just flip this the other direction, okay? And then you're going to lay, the pillows is the last piece. It kind of goes half on the bolster. You're going to put your legs over that and lay back. Make sure that everything is far enough apart so that you can get your whole body in a nice reclining position. When you first lay down, you're going to check for the comfort of the head, the comfort of the legs, and the comfort of the lower back. Now, we do have a few extra blankets if you are cold. So, Suzanne, do you want one?
Yes, please.
Just raise a hand if you need one. You also don't want your feet to touch the floor, because it actually will hurt after a few minutes to have the feet on the hard mat. This is turned. I don't know if
something else.
Want another one?
Or something. These are
high enough there. Let's do one more under your legs. Lift up your feet again for me.
We have another blanket if someone wants it.
I know.
Plenty of room.
Mess up your legs. Mess up your bare legs.
Anything?
Okay. Do you want a blanket over you?
No.
Yeah.
I like it.
Right.
Sure. Some more. So either palms up or hands on the belly, actually.
We're trying.
Or you can bring your knees into your chest. I'm going to build this higher.
This goes very well with your breath.
What is that called?
Yeah. Do you have everything that you want?
Yes. It's
called a bridge?
Yeah.
Heart patient? It can, yeah. Because that's another, like this whole lifting and move around. Does that feel a little better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Glasses off?
Both of you guys, glasses off?
The glasses on the block so we don't walk on.
Surrender, you're going to pull your pants legs down. Okay, now you're covered up.
There you go.